Here to talk about an amazing concept by a man named Gary Chapman. He wrote a book called Love Languages. You guys heard of that?
Yes.
Okay, it's extremely important. We say in the Torah that the root of the word ahava is the word hav, which means to give. Okay, that giving is not the same synonymous with love. Giving is the means to create love. And we all know that what we give to, we develop a connection to, because it's like a piece of us, right? And we also know that when we receive, we feel loved, right? The question is, what do we give? So there are some problems, because sometimes we try to give love and it doesn't seem to work, okay? Why do you think it might not work when we're trying to give love? The other person doesn't seem to receive it.
It's not their love
language. Okay. So, first of all, everyone experiences love differently. Okay. It could be that something that was very, very touching to you as you were growing up communicated to you love, and to this day, that communicates to you love. Okay, there's so many reasons why a certain thing will communicate to us that we are loved. What's really important is not to give what you think is something that communicates love. It's to give what the other person experiences as loving. And that's a very challenging thing, especially if you don't understand that there are different types of languages which communicate loving. So we're here today is to look at what he classifies as five different love languages. Okay, this is really important because sometimes, you know, we can ask someone what makes them feel loved, but they might not even know. So if you don't really have the words to communicate these type of love, and there's more. I mean, in Torah we would say that there's really three basic primary needs that all human beings have in the soul, and these love languages fulfill those primary needs. Okay, but he broke it down into five love languages. Okay, so what's the most foolish thing you can do when you're trying to show love is to spend a lot of time and a lot of effort with no results. Okay, has anyone ever done that? Ever spent a lot of time and a lot of effort and had no results? Maybe even the opposite of your intention? Okay, so it's foolish. It's foolish. So trust me, you know, we all hear about the guy who gives his wife a drill set for Hanukkah, right? Okay, and he's like, what do you mean? It's the best gift ever, right? Who wouldn't want a drill set? Well, I'll tell you someone who wouldn't want a drill set, the one he gave it to, right? So we have to make sure that we're not being a little bit narcissistic, and it's extremely hard to know that unless we understand that there's other ways to love. Okay, so let me ask you guys, what would communicate to a person that they are loved? Think about it for yourself. What communicates to you? What can a person do or say that would communicate to you that you are loved?
When you make them feel understood.
Okay, so you're saying if you communicate to the person that they are understood by you, then they'll feel loved. Good.
Possibly.
What? Would that work for you?
It works for me, yeah.
Then that's definitely one of them. Anyone else?
When they show you with their actions.
Okay, like what kind of actions? What would show you love?
I think that for me personally, it's that someone really actually wants to spend time with me and to really be like, hey, whatever we do, it doesn't matter. It can literally be like sitting and having a cup of coffee outside under a tree as long as we're spending time together.
Amazing. And that communicates to you love.
Yes.
You guys are doing perfect. Okay, what else? Any other ones come to mind? Think, guys. You guys, if you don't probe yourself, if you don't ask yourself the question, there's going to be no vessel for the answer. So ask yourself the question, what communicates to you that you're beloved, that you matter, that you're loved? Yeah. That you're listened to.
Yeah.
You're heard, you're listened to, you're received.
Yep.
Any other ideas? Okay, so he broke it down into five. I'm going to say all five, and then we're going to go through each one individually. And I'm going to go into the order that he went in, no order of importance. Okay, the first one, he calls words of affirmation. Okay, everyone know what affirmation means? Being affirmed, validated. Second is quality time. Okay, spending quality time together. Third is receiving gifts. Giving gifts, receiving gifts is number three. Number four are performing acts of service. Right? And the last one is, of course, physical touch. These are five different ways that people could possibly be communicated that they are loved. Okay? So let's look at the first one. And also think about what people in your life. Very helpful to think about which one resonates the most with you. And then pick a person. It could be a parent. It could be a person you're dating. Pick a person and try to figure out if you can determine which one resonates with them. Okay, so words of affirmation are the first one. So we all know that words are incredibly powerful. Okay, and it's not just the words that you speak. It's also how you speak them. That's why email is so confusing and so hard. Right, in text, because a lot of times you'll say something. That's why emojis were invented. That's why emojis were invented, because people were having a fairly difficult time communicating with written words without facial expressions. So they created facial expressions called emojis, right? Okay, so it's not just how you speak. It's the tone you use. It's the way you look at someone. It's the eye contact. All of those things are all part of words and words of affirmation. So, we all know that words can have a tremendous impact on how we feel. Anyone disagree with that? Okay, words have a tremendous impact on how we feel. We could say words which are encouraging. Okay, the word encouraging literally means words that inspire courage. When if you're feeling down and someone is encouraging to you, they literally lift you up. They help you feel like you can. They give you inspiration. They give you courage. That's with words. Encouragement requires empathy. It requires seeing what a person's going through, how they're struggling, and it requires knowing how to speak to them in a way which makes them feel like they are enough, like they can. Okay. We could also give words of kindness, right? Words of love. I love you. You're important. You matter. We can give words of apology and words of forgiveness. That also shows that you matter. Okay? That you matter. If someone says, I'm sorry I hurt you, what does that communicate to you?
Empathy.
Yeah. And that you matter. Mm-hmm. If you don't, right? If someone doesn't repair the relationship because they don't think the relationship is worth repair. Okay, so telling someone, what are examples of words of affirmation?
I'm proud of you.
Okay, I'm proud of you. How would that make you feel?
Accomplished.
What about you're so special to me? How would that make you feel? Imagine someone you loved said to you, you're so special to me. How does that make you feel? What? Let's say they're sincere. I said someone you love.
No, actually, the person receiving it. It depends on the person receiving it if they want words of affirmation or not.
Well, I'll tell you, everyone would enjoy hearing that. There's not a human on the planet that doesn't think that's a nice thing to hear. But whether or not it's going to be the deepest, you know, experience of love is another thing. But it's going to make everyone feel great. Okay? What else are words of affirmation?
I miss you.
And describing things about the person that you miss. What is it about you that you miss, right? Right? I miss your kindness. I miss the way you light up the room, right? The more specific you are with words of affirmation, the more that it's going to touch their heart. Okay? And don't just stop at, you know, don't just stop at the what. Go into the why. Right? Go into the why. Go into what something means for you, right? If you see someone's having a hard time, you literally can say to them, wow, I really admire your perseverance. You've had a lot of challenges, and the way that you keep getting up and going forward is really inspiring to me. What an amazing word of affirmation, right? The way that you handled the kids just now and that exasperating experience and how you didn't lose your cool and how you, right? Describe. Don't just say, like, I love you. It's great to say I love you. It's great to say I love you. But words of affirmation are so much more powerful than I love you, right? Really, study the person. What are their qualities? What do you love about them? What do you admire about them? Okay, do you want someone to say this to you? Yes, we're all human beings. We all want this. Here's what's special about you. Here's what I love about you. Here's what I value about you. This is validation. So words of affirmation are all about speaking out to the person how much they mean to you, how much they matter, and why. What about them is meaningful? What about them matters to you? Yes?
It's maybe a dumb question, but can you say, like, I miss your face because I like the way you look at me? Like, is that words of affirmation? I don't know.
That is glorious.
Okay, so...
I want to see this.
Okay, guys, what do you think? Are those words of affirmation, yes or no? What? Say it again. It's about who?
It's about yourself.
It's about yourself.
There you go.
Right? I miss your face because I love the way you make me feel. How, right? It's about you. If you say, I miss your face because your face is beautiful, and that makes me feel nice too, that's great, you know? But it's really, you're trying to, you know, generate a certain frequency in the body of the other person. And it's supposed to come from the heart. And you're supposed to generate like a frequency in their body. If they receive it, you feel it. Okay? If you give a well-placed word of affirmation, that you feel it in the other person when they receive it.
And that applies to everybody?
Everyone feels it if it's sincere and appropriate. There are people that are flatterers and exaggerators and manipulators. Okay? What? Yeah, manipulators, right? And those people don't come off as sincere. But I'm talking about sincere, honest, right? Looking at the qualities that you love in someone you admire and speaking them out in a sincere way. Everyone likes to receive that on the planet. But there are some people that without that, they don't feel loved. Okay, it's like it's their oxygen.
That's a deeper issue, yeah.
What?
But that's like a deeper issue, yeah.
Well, it's their love language. And the whole idea, the whole idea that you have to love yourself before anyone can love you, there's a truth to that. There's a truth to that. But, okay, love is not a solitary sport. Okay, love is a relationship glue. And it has to do with people. So there's only so far you can go with just loving yourself. There's a huge ocean of growth that you can do through learning to love others. Okay? So they work in tandem. They work in tandem. Because receiving someone's love and loving back also enhances your self-love. But you have to start with a foundation of self-love. Okay? But don't have to be a finished product. No one's a finished product anyway. Okay. So on the flip side, words which are spoken that are not affirmative, that are derogatory. Okay, why does the Torah speak so much about hurtful words versus building words, right? Because words that are derogatory, that are spoken in haste, can never be taken back. The Talmud talks about a situation where someone spoke slander against someone and it spread. And he came to the rabbi and he admitted what he did. And he said, what should I do? And the rabbi said, go home and bring me back a pillow from your house. So he comes and he goes to his bed, he takes the pillow. The rabbi takes the pillow, he rips it open, and he throws the feathers, which the wind takes, and they scatter all over the place, all over the yard outside. And he says, go pick them all up. And the guy says, it's impossible, they're everywhere now. He said, so too is your speech. Okay? So too is your speech. But you can start with the person you hurt. So words can be so hurtful too. Okay, words can be one of the most powerful ways you can build, and they could also be one of the most powerful ways you can destroy. Okay? So there's a tremendous power to words of affirmation, and we are kind of the in many ways we are the trustee of the one we love. Right? We are the trustee because we really have power. When someone loves us and we love them, right? We have power because we matter so much on such a deep attachment level that our words can be extremely challenging, extremely damaging, and extremely nourishing and extremely loving. Okay. Any questions on words of affirmation? Yeah. That probably isn't their love language.
Okay.
I would switch to another one.
Okay. Well, let's just say, like, everyone wants to hear it, but some people, like, get uncomfortable with it. They still love to hear it. Okay.
But, you know, they'll enjoy it later. They might not enjoy it in front of you. But look, you know.
But,
and by the way, one thing that's very important is to understand that, you know, love makes requests, not demands. So the way that you use your words to request what you need, request your needs. So if you use your words in a way which still creates an opportunity for the person to give, okay, because what sometimes people say is, I need this, give me my love life, right? So once you turn these things into demands, it usually creates a lot of defensiveness and resistance. So you can use your words saying, you know, thank you for caring, thank you for wanting to support me, thank you for being willing to grow in my needs and understanding my needs with patience, right? Like, these are very, very important because sometimes people take these things and they start accusing and demanding and blaming. So we're not here to do that. We're here to use these to grow, okay, and to learn how to love each other better. That's the goal of this class. That's the goal of marriage. That's the goal of life, right? So use these not as demands, but use these as a way of learning how to love each other better. And it's a trial and error process. Be patient. Look for growth. And reward people with compliments in words of affirmation. Okay? Okay. And here's one tip that he talks about, which I thought was really cute. He says that one very nice thing you can do is you can give indirect words of affirmation about your partner to a third party, either with them present or not with them present, but that might get back to them. So that's an amazing way, right? If they overhear you talking about how great they are and how much you love them, right? So that's an amazing way of also delivering a word of affirmation. Okay? Any questions on words of affirmation? Who here feels like that's their number one? No? Yeah? By the way, when I first got here, Rebecca not only introduced herself, but said, it's so nice you're here, and she like complimented me. She said, they're all coming to hear you. That's why people are here tonight. And she just made me feel so good, like right away. So, you know, you're an expert at words of affirmation. You're natural. So the fact that you said that it's your love language isn't surprising, okay? Because we're usually the best at giving that technique that we like to receive because we become experts in it because it's what we want, right? It's what we like. Okay, the second one is called quality time. And some people did start to allude to the idea of quality time. Okay, so quality time means being available. Okay, it means stopping our busy schedules and devoting time to the relationship, to the person. It means connecting so the person knows that you are there for them. Okay, now does that mean you are a slave to them? No, but it means making time and opportunities to be there for them and let them know that you are there for them and that they matter. Okay, and there's lots of ways to do it. Okay, there's lots of ways to spend quality time. It could be activities, it could be conversations, right? Everyone has different ways that they like to spend quality time together. But what the key ingredient is there's a feeling of togetherness, a feeling of connection and togetherness while you're spending time. So that means that if you're going like, okay, you know, is our quality time over yet? Or, hey, honey, I'm home. How was your day? Okay, great. You know, like, okay, a quality time person wants to know how your day was, and they want to tell you how their day was. And they want you to comment on how their day was. They want to comment on how your day was, right? It's like they want to use the time to bond. So whether it's an activity or whether it's conversation, whatever it is, they're trying to create a sense of togetherness. Okay? That we care, we're in this together, and that you're giving me your time. Yeah?
I feel like that's the only way to build a relationship.
I mean, you definitely need quality time to build a relationship. Right?
I feel like that's for everybody. If you don't spend time with the other person, and just doesn't make sense.
Well, I'll tell you that a lot of times in the beginning phases of relationships, we do all of these incredibly naturally and easily without effort. So words of affirmation, I would swim the ocean for you, you're the beautiful, right? And quality time, I can't wait to see you, it's Betalius, okay? So those all are kind of natural gifts that we get when we are in the infatuation stage. And then that stage kind of wears out, and then sometimes it's harder for us, you know, to be as forthcoming, right, in how we show love. And that's when it's especially important to really be attuned to what the other person needs, okay? And not, because you're not going to have the same energy of just, right? People, when they first start relationships, they think that it's going to be like that forever. And, you know, I wish it was, but it's not. But it's a good thing it's not. Do you know why? Because that first phase is not sustainable. Because everything else in your life is on a back burner, and it's all crashing and burning around you. And you can't live like that, right? So there's a investment stage, and then there's a little bit of a back, you know, it takes a little bit of a back, so you can balance. You can balance your entire life and the relationship together, okay? So first stage is easy. Okay, so togetherness, look, it could be talking, it could be on the couch. It could be watching something. Maybe for some people, watching a movie is together quality time. For other people, it's not. Be attuned to what the other person feels is a sense of togetherness. It could be playing games, right? Board games. It could be going through relationship books, right? And asking each other deep, insightful questions, right? Like, everyone has different things. And it's fun to experiment and find out, hey, does this do it? Does that do it for you? Some tips that he talks about is, one, very helpful and important, maintaining eye contact while you are spending the time together. Okay. Two, put your distractions and diversions aside. Okay. You might not, you know, be able to do this all the time, but try to set aside a certain type of time, a certain amount that the other person feels is what they need. And during that time, really dedicate and devote. Okay, this is all the mindfulness stuff. Really be present. Really be mindful. Okay, you're going to get a lot more enjoyment in life if you can do that and be present in a real way. You know, really observe your partner's body language. Don't interrupt. Listen for feelings. And really important is to have empathy. So if your partner is quality time, they want to feel connected, and one of the most important ways of feeling connected, and someone said to feel heard, okay? So feeling heard is an aspect of quality time, like you exist, like you matter in the other person's world. So empathy is defined as understanding, elucidating what another person is thinking, feeling and or needing. When you don't talk about yourself, but you listen, and either through questions or just listening, you ascertain what the other person is thinking, feeling, and needing about something, and you can reiterate that back to them. Oh, so you're thinking this, and that made you feel this, and what you needed in that situation was this. That other person feels completely understood, heard, received. Okay? That they really, who they are and what they experience really matter to you. Okay, that's an incredibly, incredibly important type of bonding. Okay, of togetherness. To feel like someone's really with you in your inner world is one of the most intimate ways of feeling like you're together with someone. Mm-hmm. And that takes listening. Yeah? Okay, so that is quality time. So look, it doesn't have to be talking. It could be going for a walk. It could be activities, golfing, horseback riding, whatever it is that communicates quality time. But the most important thing is that the other person is giving you their time, and there's a feeling of togetherness. Okay? Any questions about quality time? No? Okay, so the next one was kind of hard for me to relate to, so I had to take a lot of time to think about it. So the next one is receiving gifts. So I don't know about you, but my first impression was that someone that has this love language is materialistic. And, right, they're like, not gold diggers, so they're materialistic, and they value material stuff, and, you know. So I actually, when I did this class once, I asked anyone who was that, and a bunch of people said that they were, and I drilled down with them, what is it? And I came up with some really interesting insights from speaking to them. So who here loves to take pictures? When you go, right, why do you love to take pictures so much?
I'm just joking. I have a photo booth.
When you do activities, why do you take pictures?
Are you taking you mean pictures like of yourself or of like the
view? No, to remember the
okay, like you're doing this event with your friends and this and that and whatever you're at the why do you take all these pictures?
To have a recollection of the moment or
to have something tangible. Which reminds you of the experience, right? Now, what about having something tangible which reminds you of your love, of your relationship? Okay, people take picture after picture after picture. They want to hold on to something, and it's not enough to hold on to it here or here. They want to hold on to it in a much more tangible way. They want to be able to see it and touch it, right? If it's a photo, like print it out, right? They want to hold on to it in a much more tangible way. People that have the love language of gift giving, they want tokens. They want something they can hold which represents what they feel. Their love, their togetherness, that they were thought about, that they were considered, that someone took effort. It doesn't have to be, and this is what I kept asking them. I'll actually tell you a funny story. So one guy who I was very, student of mine, and I was very encouraging, he was growing a lot, and he decided he wanted to run a marathon, and or a half marathon, whatever, a marathon. And the day came, we're all encouraging him, and he did the marathon. And after the marathon, he came to me, and he said, I have a gift for you. So he gave me his number that he had used to do the marathon. His sweaty... So I was like, oh, thanks. I really didn't know what to make of it. And then I remembered this class, and I thought to myself, what does this mean to him? Okay, and then I realized what an incredibly significant gift he gave me. Now, was it my love language? No, right? But when I thought about it, by the way, this guy would give gifts to people, and he loved, like, I saw that it was his love language, and when I realized for him, this was the tangible token of this achievement. And he gave it to me, I realized how much it meant that he gave this to me. Does that make sense?
Did you frame that?
I washed it. No. Put it on the extra heavy load cycle.
He wanted you to have it sweaty.
What? He was smarty. Okay, so it's not just, look, it's so it's not the material. It could be a card. It could be, it's that you thought about them. And he put so much thought into what he gave someone, okay? And so thinking about the person and what they would like, and what they go into the effort of getting it and this and that, it's all part of this, right? And this is, I mean, you think about proposals. What are some of the elements of proposals that are really good engagement proposals, right? They have certain elements. Okay, you're about to give this ring. You could walk up and say, hey, here's a ring. You want to marry me, right? But there's something lacking in that gift giving, that right? Right? So what do we do to make it more impactful?
Bigger letters.
Okay, we could have. Oh, would you say letters, writing a letter?
Yeah, will you marry me, but like bigger letters.
Fonts. Okay, other gifts along with it, fine.
Photographs, like tangible of that day, tangible memories of that day.
So giving concrete things for afterwards?
The process. Of
but before?
The words of affirmation.
No, like, it takes like where, who,
how. Okay, so the more forethought the person took, the more effort they had to go through, and the more element of surprise, the more impactful the proposal is. When you said, wow, you've been planning this for 5 months and you had to coordinate this and this and this and then you had to get this, but right? And all these types of things. And then it's surprise, right? It's in some kind of surprising, unique, insightful way that had a special significance to the relate. Okay, like, you're done. You're the best ever, right? Like, you just scored a home run. So these types of elements are all important in successful gift giving. And again, it's not necessary. Of course, people like expensive gifts, but it's not really about that. It's about having something tangible which symbolizes the care, the thought, the experience, and the love that you guys share. Okay? So it's not a materialistic thing necessarily, and I take back my first superficial judgment of it. Okay? Any questions on giving gifts? Yeah.
I feel like, this is just me, but I feel like there's also a materialistic aspect of it, but not in a bad way, in a good way.
Okay.
Because part of being married is knowing that you're going to be supporting that person and joining assets with them and, you know, basically just, you know, being supportive of them. So getting a gift is a physical representation of
your commitment.
Of your commitment to them. Not only emotionally, but also materialistically as well.
Okay, yeah, excellent. Even better. Yeah.
This one always confuses me because is it like I love giving gifts to other people? When you say gift giving, that's what I think of, like
gift receiving, then.
So,
yeah.
So, like that guy who gave me his number, you were saying like that person didn't feel really good because he was giving you a gift, or you saying that that's probably his love language?
Okay, so in this particular example, his love language was receiving gifts, and therefore he communicated his love to me through giving me a gift, even though that wasn't my love language. But, you know, it was a cute example, but really it's about receiving gifts, the love language about receiving gifts. If you have a person that loves receiving gifts, you probably are a connoisseur of giving gifts as well, most likely. Yeah. I didn't say that. I was elated. I made him feel like he was, right? Yeah.
For you personally, now.
Oh yeah, for personally, I was like a little confused.
Yeah. My question is, what if he gave you this like same metal trophy that he won, that was like glorious with like little embedded diamonds? Like, would that make you feel any different? Yeah. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like.
Well, no, it's not the sweaty. If it depends on. I didn't get at first what it meant to him by its value. It was like a, you know what I mean? Like when you get a, I didn't, it took me a little bit to process what it meant to him. But if it was something encrusted with diamonds, it would have been easier for me to understand what it meant to him. Okay? So that's why there was a little disconnect, because I didn't quite get it at first. Yeah.
you know, you're saying that that wasn't your love language.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it depend on the gift? Like, if it's specific to you, like, you love a specific type of...
I'm not saying I don't like gifts.
Yeah.
Wait, we're all of these. Do we like all of these? Very important. We're not saying that these aren't things that all human beings love. What we're saying is, what is the most essential to communicate love? You have a first, a second, a third, a fourth. They could all be equal, but oftentimes people do have a hierarchy. And we're trying to identify what your hierarchy is. So maybe this is second, right? Maybe it's third. But it's very helpful to understand, you know, what your hierarchy is. Yeah?
What if you know someone who likes to give you, like, baked goods? Is that a gift-giving thing, or is that a acts of service thing?
It could also look. It could be. Okay, so that's a great question. First of all, how do you interpret it? I guess is probably the most important question.
They come to my door and they say, "Here's a challah. I thought of you."
So, do you need the challah for Shabbos? If you do, it for sure communicates an act of service. Okay? So there's nuances. If you don't need it for something like, oh, you're going to this birthday party, here's a cake to bring to your nephew, right? So that's an act of service. If it's just for you, it might feel more like a gift, you know, receiving gifts. Acts of service do have a different flavor. It could be like, there could be a thin line, but there's a different flavor. Does that help? Yeah.
Kind of going off that, I'm wondering, like, I know obviously certain things fall into certain categories of, like, this thing is acts of service, this is more words of affirmation. But
it is blurry areas.
But if you get into, like, everything to some extent, like, let's say a guy sends a girl a message saying, like, I miss you, that could be read as quality time, but isn't that also, like, I don't know, an act of service.
The most important is how you receive it.
Okay.
It's about receiving love. Okay, so if your love language is quality time and you receive this quality time, it's great. Okay. If your love language is, you know, your language is words of affirmation, it'd probably be great, right? Right? So it's really so subjective, and that's the beauty of it. The subjectivity of it is the point of it. Because it's about knowing you. And that's a subjective thing. Okay? Okay, next one is, we talked this a little bit. Any questions on that? Nathan, you've been here the whole time?
I just got here.
Okay, fine. I'm like, oh my God, Nathan's here. Okay, so any questions? Any other questions so what are the three that we've seen so far, just to review so it's fresh?
Words of affirmation.
Quality time. And receiving gifts. Okay? So the next one is called acts of service. So this one has to do with actions which take care of your needs. Okay, that is what communicates that a person's doing an act of service. So sometimes gifts don't have anything to do with your needs, besides you need to be feel loved. Forget about that for a second. But sometimes there's no kind of more utilitarian need. Acts of service are there to help you and take care of your needs. Okay. So if the lawn needs mowing, and someone comes and says, I saw your lawn needs mowing, and I know you had a busy week, so I mowed your lawn for you. An act of service person will think that is the highest form of love. Okay? right? Taking the trash out. Putting away the dishes. Right? Making dinner. Picking up the babysitter. Running to the store and getting a couple of items that you noticed weren't in the home, right? So all of these things are examples of acts of service. And when we receive these, interestingly enough, some people would say, okay, like that's just what people do for each other. Other people say that communicates love. Now the opposite, unfortunately, could communicate a lack of love. And again, all of these are where disconnections take place. So if someone's love language is quality time, and the other person's is acts of service, and let's say the husband, it's acts of service, and the woman's quality time, and the man walks in, and the house is a disaster, and she's like, aren't you excited to see me? He might not. He might not get past the fact that, you know, and especially if he said, look, you know, just a very basic, minimal sense of order. Nothing has to be clean. Just like there should be a path along the floor when I walk home, you know, and he comes home and there's, right? So for him to feel like a basic need, like act of service hasn't been performed, it might be hard for him to tune into the quality time that she wants and needs, right? Okay, so that's one of the issues is when you don't get this thing, it might communicate a lack of love. Even though the person's like, I made myself available, I have all this time for you right now, we could do quality time, that's how they would receive, right? So they are doing things which would communicate love. It's just gonna, if the other person's love language isn't taken care of, they might not be able to get it, to get it might get in the way. Okay, so yeah, if you, yeah.
So like that challenge, like the lack of thereof, of, I don't know, gifts or words of affirmation, like how do you get past that? Like say, or like show that you still love someone without putting in.
Why wouldn't you put in?
Not like effort, but like, let's say like you don't really give like that many gifts. You know what I mean? And like you like to give, I don't know, like words of affirmation instead. So like how do you get past that? Like,
so how do you, well, he's saying, how do you get past what you want to give to what the other person needs to receive? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
I mean, look, that is the challenge, is how do you get past what you want to give and instead focus on what the person needs? I'll just tell you on the first hand, if you don't get past this, you're wasting a lot of time and energy and not getting the results that you want, okay? Because you're not gonna communicate love, even though you're spending all this time, and then you're gonna get resentful because look at how much you're giving and doing, and you're not getting the appreciation that you deserve, right? So it's a no-win strategy. I tell people, forget about all the other things, figure out exactly what they want to receive, be a little creative with it, and start focusing on learning their love language, how to do it, what the frequency is. Most likely, it's not excessive. No one needs a gift every day. Right?
I mean,
what? Look, maybe they do need, but it could be a note. Or it could be, right? Think about it. If you need words of affirmation, do you feel like you need that every day?
Depends.
Maybe. If you need it every day, I have a couple where the woman is acts of service and the guy is a words of affirmation. No, quality time. And he wants to sit and gaze in her eyes and talk about relationship-ish, like books, like, right? And she can't stand it, okay? She's like, ugh, ah. What?
Like, how are they still together?
Because.
That's the challenge.
What? Because she has to understand that if she loves, she has to give love. That's what loving is. Okay? It's giving love. And so to be loving, which she values being loving, and she has to realize that if she wants to be loving, which she does, then this is loving. And if she can sit there, and look, we're building up a tolerance. It's taking a little bit of time, but we're at the point now where it's a different experience for both of them, right? Yeah, but she was like negative about it. Okay, she was like a little punishing about it. Yeah.
I guess, can you give some examples of acts of service? Because I feel like the example of like the clean house is just like a social, like a thing that everybody should do. Like you not cleaning your house is like a different issue of a relationship. It's like
that's just hygiene.
That's a deep
hygiene issue.
Like, that's what I'm saying, like, Where's the line of like a default of like making sure you have food in the fridge and making sure the house is clean and the laundry is done for your wife or your husband to like, this is me doing a love
But there's really no distinction. Those acts of service communicate love. That's the whole point.
Even if it's default?
I mean, there's no, you're saying what separates what is the expectation versus what's an act of, considered an act of service?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, look, there are certain qualities that would differentiate it. They're all appreciated and communicate love. They all do. Okay, but they might be taken for granted, especially if they're expected, right? But what would be different is if it's something that they wouldn't expect. So if you did something for someone that they didn't expect, but that they needed, that would communicate a new level of... And because it's, again, it's focus, it's awareness, it's anticipation, it's stress. It's the same thing as the other ones. The more you kind of invest and put yourself in the person's position and show that you put some effort in and right, and that you really thought about them, the more it's going to be received as love. Okay, same thing with the touch and the gift. It's the same thing, right? If you give the same thing to the person every day, you hand them one rose every day, every day, every day. Is that giving gifts? Is that going to like, no, right? But there's an art to it. Okay, so it's the same thing for all of them. Okay, you have to invest a little bit more. You have to be a little creative. And look, I know it's not spontaneous, but ask. I would say that it's better to ask and get the information, because they'll forget what they told you anyway eventually, but get all the information about what really does it for someone, write it all down or take the conversation, whatever, and then work from there and experiment, right? But really, really, really try, if they know themselves well enough, I guess, but really, really, really try to get what works. What works? Yeah.
So with this couple, my understanding from the story, at the surface level, she was impatient.
Yes, deeper, no, judgmental.
Okay, and then deeper, it was because the love language didn't match.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Understand.
So, yeah.
Also on the flip side, wouldn't it be an act of service to like learn what your partner's way of giving is and to kind of learn to receive that? Like if my love language is like giving you gifts and like I want to give you like a rock every single day and it makes me so happy to give you a rock every single day.
But who is that about? Who is that about?
But go.
You're giving to yourself, and that's not loving. I mean, it's loving yourself. You can love yourself all you want, and it's important to love yourself.
Wait,
it's important to love yourself, but giving to someone in a way that makes you feel so like you're, right? It's not loving them necessarily, right? If it makes you excited to give something...
If you don't think giving a rock is stupid, but you know that they love it,
then you give the rock. That's love.
That's
love.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll tell you a story that when I...
Yeah, she explained it in a way better way.
When I first got married, so my wife is from LA and I'm from New York. And when in New York, when you think about jewelry, it's diamonds, emeralds, rubies, pearls. That's jewelry, right? Okay. So I like, what do you like? She goes, I like amber. So I'm like, okay, what's amber exactly? So I kind of look it up and it's fossilized tree sap, and if you're lucky, there's a dead insect in it. And I'm like, she wants me to spend my... I could spend on diamonds and rubies, but she wants me to spend my money on... What? You know? Okay, if you hear... Okay, so I'm like, I don't want to spend my money on that. I don't value it. I think it's stupid, right? But what did I do? I went and bought amber. Okay? Now, did I feel like it was stupid before I gave it to her and I didn't want to do it? Yes, but after I gave it to her and I saw how she received it and how she felt known by me and loved, and how did I feel after? Okay, so when you actually give someone in a way which they feel and receive love, you feel good. Okay, you feel really good. You feel really good. So it's worth it. It might not be your natural inclination, but if you train yourself, you will get the goods as well. Okay. Okay, so what do we do so far, just to review so we don't lose the other ones? Words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, gift giving. Okay, any questions on acts of service? Those are helpful questions, by the way. Okay, so the last one is physical touch. So in every culture, obviously, this is a major act of showing love. And it's not just, you know, it's an essential biological need. Human beings need touch. They actually have studies with babies, and they saw that babies that weren't held didn't thrive. And if a baby is held, even if they have every other need met, the baby is not held, the baby doesn't necessarily thrive. If the baby is held, they'll start thriving. Okay, there's a fundamental need for touch and connection through touch. Okay, so this is one of the love languages, connection through touch. And it's very, very powerful. We have all types of sensors in our skin, and it's the entire body. Your skin is an incredibly sensitive organ across your whole body. Okay, physical touch is not limited to sexual touch. It's any type of contact. Okay, body to body, holding hands, putting your hands on their shoulder, giving them a massage, right? Any type of like reassuring, comforting, loving contact between two bodies, okay, which creates the sense of being connected and cared about, is going to be physical touch. And of course, intimacy is more than included, okay? So a hug, a caress, hand on your shoulder, foot rub, kiss, right? These are all examples. And we know that touch is therapeutic, right? We know that human beings need connection, and that touch communicates connection. Okay, and for some people, you know, without that type of connection, they don't feel loved. You can give them gifts, you can spend time with them, but if they don't have that physical touch, body-to-body presence, touch, physical, tangible, it won't communicate love in the same way. This is the short one. Pretty obvious. Any questions on this one?
Is that okay?
To have this as the love language?
No, to like have that be, at least in the state, like, to, I don't know how to phrase this anymore, but I'm trying to, like, it just being a deal-breaker.
I mean, if your love language is physical touch and the person you're with is not
that
interested
foundation,
in...
like, my love language is physical touch, so if this person doesn't touch me in whatever way that it means, then, like, is that okay? Because I feel like that, for anything, is worth the materialistic side of giving or receiving, no?
I mean, if your spouse refuses to give to you in a way that you feel loved, it will always be a problem. There's something I'm not getting. Who can help me with her question? What?
I'm taking away like, okay, sexual fine. Touch. And not that, but if... I don't, because people do Sharanagi.
Okay, so that's the question.
Yeah.
So if your love language is touch, how can you know if the other person is equally responsive to touch, or if they could be touch-averse? Is that what you're asking? What?
Sure, that's another question.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you right now that a person's ability to be present physically, sexually, touch is communicated in a million ways before there's touch. Okay? There is a certain comfort with the body, comfort with expression, right? It's not something that you... And when a person is not, you feel that too. Okay, there's a certain rigidity, there's a certain frozenness, there's a certain holding back, there's a certain lack of express, right? So you don't really need, you know, I don't think it's rocket science to know if a person has that side of them or whether or not it's something that they've suppressed and have trauma around.
By the way, last week, just if I can
interject,
someone spoke last week about physical intimacy before there's a commitment. and all the problems that come with it, which there are a ton, and obviously we'll stand up for that because, you know, we're a religious community. But there is a whole amazing video that we're going to put up that was given last week about the idea of not having physical intimacy before commitment. According to Judaism, it's still marriage, but, you know, physical intimacy before commitment is really a problem because it clouds you, it gets you confused, you don't know if they're using you, and that's a whole discussion in itself, and it's, of course, not recommended. So if that's what you were trying to get to, but like Rabbi Jacob was saying, you can get that physical sign of physical language without physicality in itself.
For sure. I think that people very much, yeah.
Is physical intimacy different than quality time?
Yes.
Oh, wait. So I can be physically intimate if I'm just in a room with someone. Like, in just sitting across from them.
Physically intimate? No, it's touched. It's touch. Physical intimate.
Okay. Touch.
This is touch. Yeah. Okay. This is touch.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, someone else had a question?
Oh, no, never mind.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to give you a little quiz. Okay, so imagine you were away on vacation for a week and you left your younger children at home. So you walk in with your arm full of your suitcases and your children rush to you to greet you. Okay, so I'm going to tell you what each child does and you tell me which love language they have. Child number one says, I have so much to tell you, when can we talk?
Quality time.
Okay. Child three says, what did you bring me?
Gifts.
Next one says, let me grab your bags and bring them upstairs. Right? I mean, I actually have kids like this. It's so funny. Other ones, like, hugs you. It doesn't want to let you go. They just hug you. What? Physical touch. And the last one is, I loved you so much. I missed you so much. I'm so happy you're home. Is words of affirmation, right? So you will literally see this in kids. It's just amazing. Like, you will see this in kids. Okay, so just to reiterate, the most important point. Most important. Okay, so let's go through. Yeah.
Would you say there's one more, and that would be like a third party, like therapy, or someone who's like viewing it, and like that. I think that's essential as well.
Wait,
therapy, or, you know, someone who can look at your relationship and give you advice and whatnot.
As far as how to love each other,
yeah.
And what the other person needs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be really helpful.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't be another category.
I mean, a person that's helping you guys understand what your love languages are is a facilitator, but
he's asking, is that same love language?
Is seeking help?
No, as in a relationship, having therapy from the other person.
Is one person being your therapist an act of love in a relationship?
Like, I don't, helping you strengthen your relationship. All these are for strengthening your relationship, right? It's hard to do sometimes just one-on-one, you know, and a lot of people go to, like, outside sources.
Yeah, outside sources.
Actually, I think almost everyone does. So it's like these outside sources are a big...
Well, that's not a love language, but it might help you learn how to speak each other's love languages. But getting help isn't a love language. It's a strategy, right? What?
No, I mean, I would say it is.
What?
It's helping you understand other people's needs. Maybe that person is trying to explain something, right?
Yeah.
And the other person, you know.
That'll lead to love. Yeah, for sure. Your goal is love, right? And maybe for an active service person, dedicating your time to go to therapy, if that's what they need, is an act of service that they would say, "Now, wow, the fact that he's willing to come every week, mm-hmm. that could communicate love, right? You could use it to communicate love, but it's not a separate love language. It could, if the way it's interpreted, would communicate different types of love, I would say, right? If you use it as an opportunity to say words of affirmation, then that, right? It depends how you're using the experience. If you fight the whole time, then it's not going to create any love. Right? If you use it as a way of destroying each other, then there's no love in therapy. So it depends how you're using it, I would say. Any other questions? Okay, so first one was? Or one
words of
affirmation. Words of affirmation. Quality time. Gifts receiving. Acts of service. And physical touch. And the most important thing to remember is it might be outside of your comfort zone, but learn your partner or your parents or your siblings or your nieces and your nephew, learn their love language and be efficient. Because to really give love is not narcissistic. To really give love has to do with the other person receiving love. And if your job is to make another person feel loved, then you have to know them. And you have to know what communicates love. Okay, so don't make the mistakes so many people make. And that's why this is so great, because it really breaks down for people what their needs are and helps people classify other people's needs and helps tailor make the way that you can give in a way that really communicates love. Questions? Comments? Thank you.
For that. Yeah.